a certain verse on my heart this morning. Well, not this morning, this several days ago, but I want to look at it this morning. And if you would, let me get to my notes here. Turn with me to 2 Timothy chapter 3. And we're going to look at verse 16. Second Timothy 3, verse 16 says this: all scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness. Amen. That the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. All scripture is breathed out by God. Our Bible, the Word of God, that is what we would consider scripture, right? This book was breathed out through men to the page by God. Yeah. That means, and it says this scripture, all this scripture is profitable for us. All of it is profitable. What does profitable mean? There's increase, there's value. How many know if you have a business, you want it to be profitable?
Yeah. Amen.
I've seen, we have a business. I've seen times where it's profitable. Yeah. It's happy months during those times. We've had some times where it is not profitable. And then you get to do what the Bible says about not worrying.
Yes.
You have to start casting your cares and everything. Why? Because when things aren't profitable, it starts to weigh on you, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
And life without God will weigh on you. Life without a proper knowledge of what this book means will be difficult. It will be difficult for you. All scripture is profitable for us because all scripture is from Him.
Yeah.
It's from God. And it says here in verse 16, it says that it's been breathed out by God and it's profitable for teaching. It's profitable for reproof. It's profitable for correction and for training in righteousness. The Word of God does many things. It teaches us. It reproves us. Other translations say rebukes. Yikes. Nobody likes that, right? Now, as a mother, there have been times where I've had to rebuke my children. What is that? Correct them in a serious manner. Very firmly.
Yes.
With firmness. How many understand this word can sometimes rebuke? In other words, has anyone ever received a rebuke?
Yes.
From your boss?
Yes.
From your parents?
Yep.
Yes.
I've been rebuked. It's not pleasant.
No.
At all. And, we were in the car just yesterday going to the airport. I was taking my husband to the airport. And there were cars stopping quickly. But for some reason, the car like directly in front of me didn't, I was driving because I was taking him. The car in front of me didn't have their brake lights on, you know, because they were still going pretty fast. So my husband, from his angle on the passenger side, saw some of the other vehicles braking. And he started to say, Amy, Amy, slow down. Well, he wasn't necessarily rebuking, but he was making things, making my awareness very clear, you know, slow down or else. And you know, my heart started pounding, right? Because you're like, you know, you get that feeling when you're almost, ooh. So slow down, and everything was fine. But, you know, sometimes my flesh wanted to say, you didn't have to shout. Right? You didn't have to, it wasn't that bad. I would have seen it. But what? Why? Because nobody likes to be corrected in a serious manner, right?
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah.
But when it comes to saving your life or the car, you know,
yeah. Yeah.
It's worth, you know, there's times where it's necessary.
Amen.
And we have to learn, my point is, you have to learn how to receive
yeah.
a rebuke.
Yeah.
Don't worry, I'm not going to rebuke anybody today that I'm aware of. But the point is, if you stick around for any length of time at Faith Church Colorado, simply by preaching the word,
yes.
the scripture
yes.
that's been breathed out by God, there's going to be times where you leave a service going, ouch. Like,
yes.
you feel like you just got spanked. Like, why? Because something was made aware to you that needs to be corrected.
Yeah. Yep.
And it was maybe made aware to you in a strong fashion.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Amy, slow down!
Yes.
And so sometimes things can almost be shocking.
Yeah.
And if we're not careful, we can respond like I did. You didn't have to shout so loud. He wasn't yelling at me. He was getting my attention quickly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Firmly. Right? And we need to be able to recognize the difference, because many will come to a church. They will get hooked up with a pastor. They'll be excited about the things of God for a time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
That time is different for different personality types.
That's right.
I'll just say it that way. You know, some might last a year, some might last 3 weeks.
That's right.
Oh, we're helping us today already.
Yes. Amen.
Why? Because we start to think to ourselves, okay, so I'm female, so we'll just use the word she. She's picking on me.
Mm-hmm.
Or, I don't like the way he says that. It doesn't make me feel very comfortable. There's nothing in these verses that says you're going to leave feeling comfortable.
Right.
That's the thing.
Yeah.
And it's not necessarily the person that's ministering that's doing the rebuking. It's actually the breathed out word of God
yes.
that's landing on the inside of you and sternly letting you know this needs to change or else.
Yeah. Yeah.
And we need to train ourselves, me included, to leave those services going, thank you, Lord, for your word.
Yes.
That it corrects me and that it keeps me straight. That it rebukes me. Oh, isn't this fun? You know, we have been connected with Pastor Nancy Dufresne for many years now. The thing that we loved about her was she was a straight shooter.
Amen.
I mean, if you listen to her teach, you're going to hurt in several different ways by the time you're done with it.
Yeah.
And she used to say, there was this one time where she had to correct her son, and she was actually gonna spank him for something that he had done, and he was young. And so she would, before she would spank them, she would calmly let them know why this is going to happen. It's not that I want to do this, it's that you refuse to obey, and therefore this is your consequence. And so she spanked him, and he was trying not to cry, and he was kind of holding his behind a little bit, and he turned around, and he said he was like 5 or 6. He said, "Thank you, Mama, for keeping me straight." Because she had explained to him, the Bible says that children must obey their parents, right? And if they don't, they're not going to live long on the earth. And so if there's correction coming to children, it's to help them live long on this earth. Ephesians 6:1, if you don't know where it is, you could write it down, go look at it. It's in there. I think my son was showing some of you last week about when Anna, my daughter, when she was little, she decided to scribble in my husband's Bible all over Ephesians 6:1. It's pretty funny. She found that verse about children obeying their parents and went... And he said she was trying to cross it out. I said, no, she was highlighting it. Praise the Lord. She was only about 3, so we'll give her a pass on that one. But there's going to be some reproving, rebuking, correction, and training.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
When the word is preached, it's the way God designed it.
Yes. Yeah.
But this is exciting to us because that means we won't stay the same, but we'll be changed. We'll continually be growing and maturing and becoming more like Him.
Amen. Amen.
And so we've got to learn to look for the correction and not try to just shove it under the rug and say, oh, well, that she didn't mean me. They weren't talking. No. No, I assume everything that's coming out is talking about me. Even if, you know, I feel like I'm doing okay in that area. No matter what we're ministering on, there's something for everyone to receive.
Yeah. Yes.
Because all scripture is profitable.
Yes.
And so as we look at scripture, if we've looked at it 100 times, in a matter of months, we'll look at it again and receive some more profit.
Amen.
Because this word is breathed out by God.
Yeah.
Brother Sam, could you put that up in the Amplified for us? Hallelujah. It says, every scripture is God-breathed, given by His inspiration. And it's profitable for instruction, for reproof, and conviction of sin, hello, for correction of error, and discipline in obedience, and for training in righteousness, in holy living, in conformity to God's will, in thought, purpose, and action. That's a lot. So not every single time you come to hear to service are you going to be leaving feeling like you were rebuked. I hope. But every service, some part of this is going on, right? We might be being trained in righteousness, finding out who we are in Christ, how we're to look, how we're to walk, how we're to talk. That's part of the scripture. And it's a valid part.
Yes.
And we want it. We want to learn how to live holy and to live righteously. Yeah. and of to conform to God's will in our thoughts and our purpose and in our actions. We want to live like God. The Word, the Word, the Word. Everybody say the Word.
The Word.
The Word is what trains us in these things. So we don't ever get tired of going to the Word. We don't ever get tired of waking up in the morning and opening up the Word and looking at our scriptures. We don't get tired of reading them before we go to bed. We don't get tired of, you know, of meditating. That this month we're all reading that book, Healed, right? All that is scriptures, right? If you've been reading along with us, you know, it's just scriptures and then a few comments about that scripture and then some more scripture. Why? Because we're training ourselves. We are feeding ourselves with those scriptures. Now in Hebrews 4, verse 12, when we moved to Buffalo to pastor our first church, Buffalo, New York, the Spirit said something to my husband. He said, you're going to have to do a lot of teaching on the Word of God. Mm-hmm. A lot of training and teaching that the Word of God is the Word of God.
Yeah. Yeah.
And my husband thought, that's crazy. Don't people know that? And then we started pastoring and realized, no, they really don't. There's a whole lot of people that really don't.
Yeah.
Including what I was raised in a denominational church, and they didn't really believe that the Word of God was God-breathed.
Yeah. Right.
And that it was from Him. They just thought it was some good training for morality. Hebrews 4:12 says it this way. For the Word of God, that's our scriptures. The Word of God is living and active.
Yes.
It's sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of soul and spirit, of joints and of marrow, and is a and discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart. King James, I believe, says it's a discerner of the thoughts and the intentions of the heart. The Word of God is what? The Word of God is living. It's active.
Yeah.
Sharp.
Yeah.
It compares the Word to a sword, a double-edged sword, yes. Not just a regular sword.
Right. Yes.
Double-edged, you know. You ever see the Marines when they do their thing and they put their sword up and you're like, oh, careful.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's really close to your ear.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah.
The Word of God is that to us.
Yeah.
It says it can cut through and it can divide between your soul and spirit. Nothing else can. You can sit there and think, was that me or was that the spirit on my spirit? That was that God on the inside or was that just me? You could sit there and think about it all day. You need the Word of God to help you.
Yes.
Right? The yes. Word of God will help divide between your soul and spirit. That's amazing.
Yeah.
The Word of God is living.
Yes.
It's living. It's active. What do you mean? Do you mean that, you know, this comes alive at night when you go to bed, like the toys in Toy Story? No, that's not what I mean. I mean when the Word is planted where it's supposed to grow,
yeah.
It will start to make an effect. It's living. It's active. The Word of God, when it's planted in the proper space, the proper spot, will come alive. Well, where is it supposed to be planted? Oh, glad you asked.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Let's go to, where do we want to go? Because I'm all over here. Mark. Praise the Lord. Thank God we're going to get all that we came for today. Let me find where we need to go because I didn't write it down. Because I didn't think we were going to go this way. Mark chapter 4. This is the parable of the sower. Most of us have probably heard this, but we'll read through the beginning of it just to remind ourselves. It says in verse 1, "And he began to teach," talking about Jesus, "beside the sea, and a very large crowd gathered about him, so that he got into a boat and sat on it in the sea, on the sea, and the whole crowd was beside the sea on the land. And he was teaching them many things in parables, and in his teaching he said to them, 'Listen, behold, a sower went out to sow.'" Now, we don't normally use that word sower. What would we use for that? We call him a farmer, right? Farmer went out to sow. "And he sowed some seed, and he said, 'Some seed fell along the path, and the birds came and devoured it. Other seed fell on rocky ground where it didn't have much soil, and immediately it sprang up, since it had no depth of soil, but when the sun rose, it was scorched, and since it had no root, it withered away. Other seed fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no grain. Other seeds fell into good soil."
Amen.
"And it produced grain. Growing up and increasing and yielding 30-fold, 60-fold, 100-fold. And he said to them, 'He who has ears to hear, let him hear.'" Jesus spoke in parables almost exclusively when he was ministering to the public. And so the disciples would always get with them afterwards and say, "What in the world did you mean?" And Jesus would be like, "Seriously, guys, you've been with me for a couple years now, and you still don't get it." But he would always rally and explain, thankfully. So we have the explanation in here. And so after he rebuked them for a moment, he said in verse 13, "Do you not understand this parable? How then will you understand all the parables?" In verse 14, he explains this. He says, "The sower," or the farmer, "sows the word."
Yeah.
Remember, we're talking about the word of God being God-breathed. Yeah. All scripture is profitable for us. We're talking about the fact that this word is living and active.
Yeah.
Praise the Lord. That's exciting. The sower, or we might say it this way, the preacher, preaches the word.
Yeah.
"And these are the ones along the path where the word is sown. When they hear, Satan immediately comes and takes away the word that is sown in them." What does that look like? They come to church, they receive the word, they go out, and Satan, or they hear a voice saying, "That's not really real. that's ridiculous." And if Satan can talk you out of it right there, he will. You know? And for some people, that's as far as it goes. They heard it, they thought, "Oh," and then they get out and they go like, "Nah, that couldn't be." And that's the end of it. So that's verse 15. Verse 16 says, "Then there were ones sown on rocky ground, the ones who, when they hear the word, immediately they receive it with joy, but they have no what? No root in themselves. They endure for a while, but when tribulation or persecution arises on account of the word, immediately they fall away." Now, people think of tribulation or persecution on account of the word. They think of, you know, somebody in some country who gets saved, and then the next thing you know, they say, denounce Jesus or die. There are places in this world where people will face that tribulation of persecution. Thankfully, America is not one of them, right? We're grateful for that, but don't think that there's not going to be persecution or tribulation on account of the word. Bless the Lord, sometimes it can come. When I got saved, it came through my family. And it came from people that from the church I grew up in.
That's right.
I had one of the elders of that church tell me, now don't get too into this Bible thing. From the church. What? Trying to talk you out of what has been done on the inside of you.
That's right.
Talk you out of the fact that this is the word of God. It's written for me. It's been breathed out by God to be living and active in my life, to make changes. And if somebody can be talked out of it by a little bit of persecution, the Bible says it's when you have no root in yourself. If you don't have root, it means because you've just been floundering around, flipping here, flipping there. Go to church once every few months, and then pull out and think, I'm good. It's just me and God. We're cool.
Yeah.
Praise the Lord. No roots. When you don't have a root down there, there's going to be trouble. Where are we? Verse 18. Others are the ones sown among thorns. They are those who hear the word, but the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches and the desires for other things enter in and choke the word, and it proves unfruitful. You can't put all your heart, mind, and soul in him and in the world at the same time. It doesn't work. And I understand that we're all in the process of becoming like Christ. That means he's dealing with you about things that he might not be dealing with me about right now. But a year from now, he might deal with me about what he dealt with you about. So we can't just compare ourselves. And the Bible tells us he who compares himself with someone else is not wise. We're not comparing ourselves with one another. We're comparing ourselves with this. This is our standard. This is my standard right here. And I don't compare myself with anybody else that's sitting in a pew, because they're walking a different walk. We're all headed in the same direction if we're attaining to him. Some of us are going to get there a little bit faster than others. Praise the Lord. The fact is, if we're just looking to Jesus, we're okay, right?
Yeah.
If our heart is open to receive the correction, the rebuke, the training in righteousness,
yes,
if we're open. But if we're going to look at the cares of this world, we'll be choked out. The word will be choked out. But verse 20 tells us those that were sown on good soil. Remember, we're talking about soil here. The good soil are the ones who hear the word and do what?
Accept it.
He's not asking a whole lot, really. He's just saying, everything I've written here is breathed out by me. It's profitable for you. And I'm asking you to just accept it. The ones that are sown on the good soil are the ones who hear the word and accept it and bear fruit 30-fold, 60-fold, and 100-fold. So that shows us there's different levels to this, right? Some people are going to get 30% benefit and show 30% fruit. But we can grow in this.
Yes.
We can get to the point where we're 100% profitable, right? We're getting 100% fruit. And of course, this particular parable and explanation is written in Matthew, Mark, and Luke. And you can look at them, and they bring out different points. I believe it's in Matthew. It starts to talk about how he's talking about our heart, the ground in which he's referring to, where this word of God is sown, is the ground of our heart, or we would say our spirit, our inner man. That's where things are to be sown. That's where the word of God is to land in order to produce, in order to become living, active, powerful. It will change your physical body. It will change your mentality, the way you think. It will start to produce things in you you didn't know you needed to change. It will start to do things for you you didn't know you needed. But you'll start to have power on the inside of you to move in a different direction than you ever have before. But this word doesn't just come alive on its own. It has to be planted, sown. The sower sows the word. It's sown into our spirit. And so we come to church, not just because it's something to do. We come to church to open up the soil of our heart and receive the word that's being sown and allow it to be planted in good soil. Good soil. That means when we walk out of here and the Bible tries to say, that's ridiculous, you say, it's the word of God.
Yeah.
And I've already received it.
Amen.
You start using your mouth to kick out thoughts that the enemy tries to bring. When family members try to talk you out, say, you're going to go crazy if you keep going that way and listening to this. You have to start to say, it's the word of God. And I believe the word of God.
Yeah.
I love you.
Yeah.
But this is for me.
That's right.
Yep.
This is how God's going to talk to me.
That's right.
And so, and then you have to start to realize that when things come up in the world, you know, different job promotions or different things that might come up that might look enticing, but is it, we have to determine, is this going to pull me off of what I need to know? Is it going to pull me out of the place where I'm receiving the word? Because the word planted in me is what changes me.
Right.
Yeah.
The word planted in me is what gives me the life of God that I need.
Right.
And so I'm going to protect that place of feeding. We sometimes say it that way because we get fed here, right?
Yes.
We're going to protect that place fiercely.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
And we're going to show up every time we want, every time we can, even if our flesh doesn't feel like it, even if there's something else that comes up.
Right.
Because this is our life place.
Yes.
It's our life place. Now, can we receive from the word of God on our own? Of course. Of course. Of course. And you're supposed to.
Yeah. Amen.
Go home today. Open up the word, read over the scriptures we just read, and start to continue to feed on them. You know, I have a yard, my house. It's good old Colorado dirt, which means it's good for very little. And I've looked at that dirt in my backyard, which is mostly weeds, for many years now. And it really doesn't produce anything. It's hard. It's not fertile. We've hired some people to come in and give us estimates of what it's going to take. He said, we're going to have to bring in a backhoe and take out all the dirt.
Yeah.
Bring in all new dirt. We're going to have to put in irrigation. Then we're going to have to sow the seed. He said, but we can't sow it right now. It's too hot. He said, you needed to do it in March. We're like, March? Who thinks about grass in March? Not me. He said, now you have to wait till October. October, why? He said, because of the sun. And I was like, oh, I've read it. The sun will scorch it. Or he said, and if we just put it out there, if the sun doesn't kill it, the birds will come eat it. So you got to put something over it. You know, you see they put hay or different things, straw over it, so the birds don't come and eat it. There's a lot of effort that goes into just trying to get a little grass seed to come up. And then once you've got everything prepped and ready, and you pay the man to do all this stuff, now, bless the Lord, you've got to water that baby every single day. And watch that water bill go, woo!
Yeah.
Why? Because just planting it in good soil and walking away and never thinking about it again is not enough. You're going to have to take care of it. You're going to have to water it. That's what our life in the Word is. What did we learn on Sunday? Let's go home and water it. Let's take that in again. Let's allow what's been planted to spring up.
Yes. Amen.
And he said you're going to have to watch over this. You can't do it when it's so hot that you're going to burn out. You can't do it when the birds, you know, if you're not protecting it, the birds are just going to come and take it away.
That's right.
You've got to allow this thing to germinate. Mm-hmm. We use that word, right? In preschool, didn't we all at some point plant a little seed in a styrofoam cup full of dirt, right?
Yes.
And they always tried to use a seed that would germinate quickly.
Yes.
Why? Because in preschool you have no patience.
Yes.
If I don't see it in 7 days, I've forgotten about it and we're done.
Yep.
That's right.
So there's different parts of the Word that will be planted in you and it will spring up quickly.
Amen.
And it will help to fortify you. As a baby Christian, or when we first come back to the things of God, things will start to spring up quickly. It'll be easy for us to see
Yes.
a difference, right? It'll be easy for us to see, wow, I answered in love. Wow. That's different
Amen.
Than the way I was just
yep.
a few weeks ago.
Yep.
There'll be what we call fruits of the Spirit that will start to pop out. And you'll be like, whoa, that's cool.
Yeah.
But there's other parts of the Word that help to root us and stabilize us. Okay? And those require tending to as well.
Yes.
Yeah.
Amen.
Some of what we would call the deeper things of God. Our time of prayer.
Mm-hmm.
Why do we get together on Tuesdays and pray in the Spirit and speak in other tongues? It helps us add a dimension, a depth, a root to our spirit man.
Yes.
Where we learn the realms of God.
Yeah.
Amen.
Oh. That's different than love and joy just popping out, you know, on their own. And you're like, wow, that's cool. And what happens with us as people, just people, human beings, especially Americans, I hate to say it, but we're very much like cafeteria people where we like certain things.
Yeah.
But we don't like others.
Yeah.
And because we've grown up in a society where we can pretty much get whatever we want whenever we want it.
Yeah.
Wasn't it you or Sonia when your niece was here, she wanted Starbucks every day?
Yes.
How old was she?
She's seven.
Seven. Seven. Seven. Seven.
Yeah.
She wanted a $7 Starbucks cup of coffee. Probably not even coffee, probably just frou-frou whipped cream.
Latte.
Yeah. Every day. Well, you know, when that is the society we have bred our children in,
yes.
And we start to say things like training in righteousness, reproving, rebuking, correcting, it can come to this point where we're like, well, we do like God, and we like some of the word. But we don't really like going to church anymore because we hear some stuff and it's just, you know, I'm cool, just me, God.
Yeah, heard that.
I can talk to him, he can talk to me, I'm good.
Yep.
It's not you guys, just saying other people in other parts of town, in other churches, might think this way. But we all have to be on guard that we understand the importance of this,
yes.
What it's doing when it's preached,
yes.
And allowing it to lodge in our spirits. I don't mean, I look at people's bellies sometimes, I'm not... I'm realizing that as I'm doing it, I'm like, that's probably uncomfortable if someone was sterling. I gotta rethink that one. But we want it to lodge in us correctly.
Yes.
And we want to be able to have good enough soil, not such hard dirt that the seed just sits there,
right.
Until the rain comes and washes it away instead of soaking down on the inside of us.
Right.
We want it to have the soil that says, and how do we create good soil? Jesus told us, if you hunger and thirst after righteousness, you'll be filled.
Yeah, amen.
Yeah.
Amen.
If you can just do that. Be hungry for the things of God. Be hungry for his word. Be hungry for his spirit. If you'll hunger and thirst after righteousness, he'll fill you. He'll fill you with his word. He'll fill you with his spirit. And he'll start to allow that seed. We were talking about how the seed has to germinate. It. When we were, praise the Lord, you got me going here. When we were in California in January, we were at a camp meeting out there, and I believe it was Brother Jesse Duplantis said something I'd never thought about. He said, when you put anything in dirt, dirt will automatically try to break it down. It's designed to decompose things.
Yeah.
It's designed to break apart that seed, the outer casing of that seed, and allow what's in the seed to spring forth. That's what dirt's designed to do. Our heart is designed to take that word in whatever form it comes and to take it in to a, you know, start to decompose might be a bad word, but you know what I'm saying, you know, start to process it and take it into itself and life springs forth. Healing comes forth.
Mm-hmm.
Healing comes from within.
Yes.
We start to think differently because of the word.
Yeah, amen.
When fear comes, when trouble starts to bother our mind, up from inside the word, the living, active word of God comes to our mind and dispels fear.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
It allows us to think the way God wants us to think. And it changes how we conduct our daily life.
Yeah. Yep. Amen.
Amen.
Yep. Amen.
It's amazing. 1 Peter. Can we go to 1 Peter? All glory. 1 Peter 2, we're going to start in verse 23. I'm going to read you in Hebrews 4:12, when it says the word of God is living and active in the west, it says, For actively alive is the word of God, and energetic. Actively alive. This word of God is actively alive.
Yes.
But it only actively becomes alive for you when you allow it in you. Praise the Lord. So 1 Peter 1, verse 23 says, since you've been born again, look at this, not of a perishable seed, but of imperishable. How? Through the living and abiding word of God. This word of God is imperishable. It cannot perish. Now, it can be stolen out of your heart. It can be the thorns of life can try to choke it out of your life. But the word of God itself is not perishable. It will never fail. Isaiah tells us in Isaiah 55, as sure as the snow or the rain comes down and waters the earth, so shall my word be. It will not return to me void, the Lord said, but it shall accomplish that for which I have sent it. The word of God always accomplishes what it is supposed to accomplish if it's planted in the right spot.
Yeah. Amen.
Oh, you've been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable. It cannot die. Glory to God. It's imperishable. How? Through a living and abiding word. It's alive. Glory to God.
Amen.
Living and abiding word of God. For all flesh is like grass and all its glory like the flower of grass. This is quoting Isaiah. The grass withers and the flower falls, but the word of the Lord remains
forever. Amen.
And this word is the good news that was preached to you. The word preached is alive and active. The word written in this book is alive and active. And somehow, Paul said, it doesn't even make sense to man. It doesn't make sense to our minds that words, not of enticing wisdom from men, but words of power from the Holy Spirit can be spoken out of a human being and lodges into another human spirit and becomes alive.
Amen.
And changes your whole life.
Yeah.
That's what church does.
Yeah.
That's amazing. And I don't ever want to miss. Glory to God.
That's right.
Amen.
The crazy thing is, when I preach, that same word that's being preached can lodge in me, just like it lodges in you.
Yeah.
Amen.
Oftentimes, I say things I've never thought of before.
Amen.
I'm just not that smart. But the word of God has power. And if we'll come, if we'll just come, with an open heart, ready to receive. This word will lodge in us, and it will change us. The Bible says it changes us from glory to glory.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Yes.
Praise the Lord. Well, so much we could say about all of that, but that's good for today. I'm so thankful for the word.
Yes.
Amen.
And when we open the word during the week, you can even tell yourself, this is alive today.
It's alive. Yeah.
This is alive for me. This is not corruptible seed, not perishable, but imperishable, incorruptible. And when I plant it in me, it fulfills its purpose. It does its work. We take what we've received on Sundays or wherever we are where we've received. You know, we might hear a message on TV. I'm not saying it's only here, but you know what I'm saying? When you hear that word and it's lodged in you, it's our job to water it.
Yeah.
It's our job to fertilize it.
Yes.
It's our job to watch over it, to keep the birds off, to make sure that it actually has time to spring up and to make that effect. But it's not hard. We can do it. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Father, thank you for your goodness today, and thank you for your help. Thank you for the word of God that's so true,
yes,
that's so stable, that's so helpful to our lives. Lord, teach us how to come every week ready to receive.
Yes.
And show us and help us to watch over that word,
mm-hmm,
to watch over that which has been planted, and to keep it strong and growing and stable on the inside of us. Lord, thank you for your help. Thank you for your strength. Thank you that your word is living and active in us, and it changes us daily as we walk and look to you. We thank you for it today. In Jesus' name, amen.